Today, we are going to consider the theological doctrine of sanctification. The root of sanctification is the Latin sanctus, which means holy, from which we get the word sanctuary. So sanctification is about how we become holy people. It's connected to the doctrine of justification, by the doctrine by which we are made right and considered righteous by God because of the gift of grace in Jesus Christ. John Calvin, our Presbyterian forebear, said that you can't really divide justification and sanctification except to talk about them, but in reality they are linked together. I've pretty much lost you, haven't I? Okay, give me another shot. Groundhog Day tells the story of a veteran Pittsburgh TV weatherman named Phil Connors, who's played to perfection, or maybe I should say imperfection, by Bill Murray. He's good at what he does, but he is a cynical wretch of a human being. Phil's career is stuck. He's stuck in Pittsburgh, and he resents it. In fact, he resents practically everything and everyone. People are morons, he says, and he means it. And he treats everyone with undisguised contempt. The most recent last straw for Phil is the assignment to head north from Pittsburgh to the tiny town of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, to cover the Groundhog Day festivities for the fourth year in a row. Punxsutawney, of course, is also played to small town perfection by Woodstock, Illinois, where this movie was filmed in 1992, 20 years ago. Phil is accompanied by Larry, his cameraman, who is familiar with Phil's jaded ways and not at all impressed by them. And Rita, his producer, played by Annie McDowell, who's as lovely on the inside as the outside, Rita actually likes Punxsutawney. She actually likes the groundhog, and she likes the simple but genuine people of this little town. She's willing to give Phil a chance, but like Larry, she is put off by his bitter, sarcastic attitude toward his own life and everyone else's. So they arrive in Punxsutawney. They get ready for the next morning's festivities. The alarm clock hits 6 a.m., and Phil wakes up in his bed and breakfast on February 2nd, Groundhog Day, to the sound, the wonderful sound, the truly beautiful harmonic sound of Sonny and Cher singing I Got You, Babe. For you younger folks, what's the equivalent? I can't even imagine what it is. Maybe it's that Barney song, I love you, you love me, I don't know. So Phil gets up, he is rude to a fellow guest at the B&B, he is rude to the bed and breakfast owner, he is rude to an obnoxious high school acquaintance who recognizes him on the street, he is rude to his partners, Rita and Larry, he is obnoxious on camera, he refuses to hide his contempt for Groundhog Day, the tradition itself, and also for the people of this small town. He can't wait to get out of there. But a mysterious snowstorm that he has somehow failed to predict suddenly materializes and makes sure that Phil and his crew will be trapped in Punxsutawney one more night. So the alarm clock strikes 6 a.m. again the next morning, and Phil wakes to Sonny and Cher and the same disc jockeys who are wondering the groundhog will see his shadow today. Phil is annoyed that the local radio station is replaying their Groundhog Day tape until he looks out the window and sees hardly any snow at all. He realizes something is wrong. All the more when he encounters the same people in the same place saying the same thing that they said to him the day before. He hurries to the town square, and sure enough, the good people of Punxsutawney are preparing once more for their Groundhog Day festivities. What's going on? Phil wonders. And of course, this is only the beginning. Phil slowly learns that for whatever reason, he has been condemned to relive this one day of his life over and over again. And as the film progresses, it's clear that Phil lives Groundhog Day hundreds and hundreds of times. And each day is exactly the same, with one tiny, well, actually, one major exception. The only thing that can possibly be different about any one day is how Phil chooses to live it. Phil quickly sizes up the advantages of his predicament. He can pretty much do whatever he wants without any consequence at all. So he punches out his obnoxious high school acquaintance and just laughs. He steals the car containing the groundhog, and he leads the police on a merry chase through town. Everything he does, the next morning he wakes up to the beautiful chords of I Got You, Babe. One of the town's pretty women catches his eye. Phil takes a day. He invests a day, really, to learn everything about her so that the next day he can use all that information to his advantage, artfully, cleverly, but incredibly dishonestly, so that he can romance her. Through all this, he remains a cynical, disillusioned, embittered man. Well, eventually, Phil comes face to face with his own cynicism, his own disillusionment, his own bitterness. And he realizes that he's rotten to the core. He sees his empty life for what it is, and he no longer cares about anything. Now, on countless days and in countless ways, he tries to take his own life, off camera, of course. But even dying doesn't work. At 6 a.m. every morning, he awakens, even from death, to Sonny and Cher. Now, through the whole movie, Phil has been smitten by Rita, his producer. Initially, he is smitten by her beauty and the possibility of some sort of short-term romantic involvement. But he comes to realize that he's smitten really by much more than her looks. He realizes he's smitten by her goodness, her genuine love for people and for life. And while Rita is genuine and perhaps innocent enough to give Phil a chance, she's also smart enough to realize when she's being had. And so all along, Rita remains beyond Phil's reach. But the contrast between Phil's own emptiness and what he sees in Rita's life, her goodness, day after day after day, it begins to work a profound change in Phil. Slowly but surely, Phil looks at each day a little bit differently. Now he reaches out to the local homeless man with, could it possibly be genuine compassion? It is. He treats his obnoxious high school friend with humor rather than contempt. He's kind to old ladies. He scrambles every day to catch a kid whom he has learned falls out of a tree at precisely the same second of every day. He takes up the piano one lesson a day just because he wants to become good at music. Well, what we're talking about here really is sanctification, the process by which we become literally holy, or to use a word we're more likely to be comfortable with, by which we become good. So now at last, let me read the scripture, a few selected verses from the letter to the Ephesians. Each of us was given grace according to the measure of God's gift, and the gifts he gave were for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind and doctrine of people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here in this letter to the Ephesians, there's the image of a child who's tossed to and fro by whatever's the latest fad, by deceitful scheming. There's a lot of deceitful scheming in Phil Connors. And if you do that kind of thing, if you live your life that kind of way, then you end up sort of like Phil. And in some ways, you could say that one of the uglier versions of the kind of person an unbelieving, cynical society creates is Phil Connors, a person who is cynical to the core, who is bitter, who is disillusioned, a person who deep down in here is empty. Because deep down at the center of Phil's life, there is nothing there. Have you seen that in people? It's incredibly sad. But the movie doesn't leave weatherman Phil in that empty place. Neither does God forsake us. There can and there is much, much more. In Ephesians, we read that we must grow up in every way into Christ. And we're all together being built up in love. I think it's really interesting. I never read the scripture this way before, that the Bible offers us the same measure that Phil is given in the movie. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up in Groundhog Day, grow up in the Bible, grow up into love. And neither in the Bible nor in the movie are we talking about romantic love. No, instead we're talking about the love that's the opposite of the self-absorbed, self-centered life that Phil has lived and shows us so clearly. It's the kind of love instead that Christ lives. It's the kind of love that Christ shows us. It's not self-centered, it's not self-absorbed, it's compassionate, it's patient, it's kind, it's forgiving. That's something you can put at the center of your life. And when you reach deep down in there, there's something there. And that something changes Phil, and it can change anyone else too. The experience of genuine love changes people, it changes us, and it can make us good. It can make us, even make us holy. Now, in classic Presbyterian theology, this sanctification, becoming good, becoming holy, is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, you don't see the Holy Spirit in Groundhog Day, but then you don't really see the Holy Spirit at work in and among us either, do you? In your life, in mine. What you see, hopefully, are the signs of that goodness. What you see, hopefully, here and there and now and then are acts of compassion, acts of kindness, acts of humility, thoughtfulness, selflessness, forgiveness. The Bible calls those fruits of the Holy Spirit because they're clues that something else is going on here. There are just a few times where the movie hints that there's a higher power involved. And so there are hints in our lives. Not proof. Be nice to have proof, but there isn't proof, but there are hints, there are clues, there are signs. Signs of the presence of a presence in our lives. A presence that empowers and energizes us, and at times helps us to be even better than we thought we could be. To use a line from another movie, sometimes there is someone out there who makes me want to be a better man. Now for Phil Connors, that person at first appears to be Rita. But if you look a little deeper, there's someone else at work in this story. Someone unnamed, but someone who is willing to put in the time day after day after day after day after day after day, over and over and over again, to make Phil a better man. You know, it's not Rita who's responsible for this reliving of Groundhog Day over and over again. So the question that faces Phil is the question that faces all of us. What are you going to do with today? What will you do with today? Maybe we won't live the cartooned ugliness of Phil Connors' life, but One option to us, open to us, is a life that's self-absorbed, self-centered. Or will we choose today to live a life that's open to others, a life that's lived for others, a life that's rooted and centered in love? Are we going to live a life that's empty at the core? Or will we really, truly live? If you watch this movie carefully, you'll realize that when Phil finally confronts his own emptiness, that's when he chooses a different life. It's not when Rita finally falls for him. That's, you knew that was happening. You know, that's how, if you did, haven't seen the movie, you knew that was going to happen in the end. They end up a couple. But that's not what changes him. That's not what changes him at all. He changes finally because he decides that living the way she does, with a simple, genuine love at the core, that's a better way to live. And he wants the life that she has, whether she's in his life or not. It's not the love of a good woman that saves him. It's the goodness of a woman who loves life. That's what shows Phil how to live. The happy ending, the romantic get-together of Phil and Rita, well, that doesn't come until after Phil has already chosen to become a new person, a good person, a holy person. Well, we face the same question Phil does, but we don't have the opportunity he had to relive one single day over and over and over again until we get it right. For us, time marches on. And one day, we know, our time will run out. But we do have today. Like Phil, we have today. And maybe that's what makes this movie more than just a good romantic comedy. Every day is Groundhog Day. Every day we have the opportunity to choose what kind of person we're going to be. Every single day. Pray with me. Lord, in the midst of all the hectic, crazy things going on in our lives, let us not forget to ask, what kind of person do I want to be? For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen. I invite you now to stand and using the word